we'll bring in Dave Henry now about the strength of the panel, and we had Pat Splann referring to it there. Are you there, Dave?
Yeah.
And we were just listening to Pat Splann and Joe Brolly speaking in RTE, saying that the strength of the panel reminds them, the Dublin panel reminds them of the Kerry teams of the 70s and the 80s. Do you think that is the greatest strength Dublin have at the moment, that if you have a bad game that you're probably out of the team?
Yeah, I think it helps a lot. And you look at teams like the Kilkenny hurling team, like, you know, teams that are kind of consistently successful really need that, you know. And and it's definitely, yeah, it's a huge strength that Dublin have, and to have like real quality players as well. Like, just from looking on at the match the other day, like, you know, yeah, it's so hard to shut Dublin down, because everybody is a good footballer, you know. And especially up front, their scoring options come from everywhere, you know. And a lot of teams you play, you're kind of, they're relying on two or three danger men, whereas, you know, we can kind of afford for two or three of our top players maybe to have a not so good day, and you're going to have three other players that will probably do very well, you know. So I think we're in a fairly unique position that we have that at the moment, and you know, hopefully it'll continue as long as it can.
Yeah, I was reading Jim McGuinness in the Irish Times today, and he was saying that the headline says that Dublin have made themselves more difficult to beat. And I know some of the criticisms that you had last season is that Dublin played with a kind of an openness at times that was naive. How do you think they've gone about making them more difficult to beat? And do you think they have, actually, to begin with?
Yeah, they have. There's no doubt about that. I think we're looking a lot more solid. You know, I think we, like, even the other day against Kildare, like, we always had cover at the back. There was always an extra defender there, you know. It was never a kind of a one-on-one situation or a two-on-two. There was always somebody else. It wasn't the same person all the time, but I think everybody's bought into, you know, the fact that last year what we had was everybody pushing up on their own man, like, and really when you do that, the other team can kind of dictate where the space is going to be on the pitch, whereas now all of our defenders have a much better awareness of the space and the danger, and that danger is being covered very, very quickly, and you know, it was worked on a lot in the league, and you can definitely see, you know, there's a much better understanding there now, even compared to the early stages of the league, and we are looking more solid. And I think with the personnel we have as well, like, just looking at the team that played on Sunday, you know, I think it was a much more balanced team than we've had in a while as well. I think O'Keeno Sullivan back in defence, and like Brian Fenton from my own club, he's a kind of a, you know, he's defensively mind, even though he's a very good attacking player, his positioning sense in defence is very good as well. So when you have players like that, and Keane O'Sullivan back in defence, and kind of throw in the new kind of awareness of the danger, we're definitely looking a lot more solid, and I'd say less likely to concede kind of goals, maybe.
Yeah, I noticed at times, as you mentioned, lads like Fenton were, we'll say, staying behind to let the likes of Philly McMahon and Jack McCaffrey bomb forward, which led to, I think, two goals came from the two lads arriving into to Kildare's final third.
Yeah, and like you said, so like Jack McCaffrey the other day, was like his pace was absolutely frightening. Yeah. You know, you have him playing better this year. Like last year, he was probably going through a second year kind of syndrome that happens to a lot of young players. You know, and he's absolutely flying. You know, and when you have him going at pace, you know, even if your six forwards aren't motoring so well, you know, when you have himself, Philly McMahon, carrying the ball well at pace like that, you know, that increases the scoring options that we have, and there seems to be an awareness, all right, of, you know, if people are doing that, there always is going to be a little bit of cover. There's always somebody else slipping back just to cover the space, and lads around the middle are much more aware of that as well. But yeah, like we do have options coming from everywhere, and it's really good to see, you know. And we just have to kind of, you know, be a little bit careful now, not to you know, be blowing things out of proportion either. Like, you know, everyone's going to try and really, really talk up Dublin now.
Yeah.
And they've already started to do it, like, and you know, we're going to be kind of considered unbeatable, like, and everyone's going to love it then if we do get beaten, you know what I mean? So I'm just wary of talking us up too much. I think Kildare were poor, like, you know, there's no doubt we were very good, but Kildare were, they really were, you know, they weren't a patch on the Kildare team maybe that was there even 5 years ago. So, you know, they're a Division 3 team now, and you would expect us to win well against them. And sure, we were impressive, but like, we need to, you know, we're not going to be really tested until August.
Yeah, and one thing I'll ask you, Dave, is have you, the Kildare players, how would they have felt when Dublin were steamrolling them? I don't know if you've ever been on the end of a beating like that, or indeed been in the position that Dublin are, where they're winning by such large margins. From, could, if you could answer from both sides, how does that feel, and what's the difference it makes that Dublin, they seem to be different than most teams, and that they really go at it right till the end, even when they're winning by 10 and 11 points?
Yeah, they do, and like, you know, the competition for places is, that's the key to that one, really, you know, and the scoreline doesn't matter. You're constantly trying to kind of, you know, like Jim Gavin has a team of fellas doing stats, like, and they're all kind of being judged on their stats after the game, on their tackle counts, and on their kind of their work rate, and you know, all sorts of areas, like there's the successful passes and that. So, they're kind of like at that level now of football, like the psychology of it dictates that fellas are just focused on all those little small things now, and the kind of the bigger picture nearly is forgotten about, you know. So, and as well as that, well, like when you're playing really, really well, you seem to just get energy, like, you know, like Dublin fellas, they were flying, like with 10 minutes to go in the game, like, you know, they were bursting with energy, and that's what happens when things are going well for you. So it kind of, it looked like that for Dublin the other day. And then from the other point of view, from Kildare's point of view, like, it just seemed that, you know, they were there to give it a good lash, and, you know, they had been relegated in the league. You can see that their confidence is very low, and as soon as things started to go wrong, you could see it. It's like energy kind of gets drained from you then at that stage, and they were really just trying to get to the end of the game without being totally embarrassed. And you can kind of, yeah, you have to have a bit of empathy for them as well, because, you know, they are low in confidence at the moment, and you know, with Dublin flying like that, they were kind of unstoppable. And yeah, so there is the two sides to it.
Yeah, and finally, Westmeath, a great win for them, their first ever win over Meath in the Championship. They await Dublin now in the Leinster final. Obviously, Dublin will be huge favourites. Where do you, obviously, a great win for Westmeath. How do you see that one playing out?
Yeah, well, you'd obviously expect a decent win for Dublin, but like from a Westmeath point of view, it'll be interesting to see what they do now, you know, because they play very attacking football against Meath, and, you know, a lot of teams now coming to Croke Park might say to themselves, right, let's go really defensive here. But like, to do something like that is so difficult, you know, to go and try and play a really defensive game in 2 weeks is so hard. Like, Donegal are really good at it, but because they've been doing it for years, like, to do it in 2 weeks, you know, it'll be hard to see them playing anything other than a kind of a 15 against 15 type game. But maybe they might try to play a sweeper or something like that, but you know, 15, it's probably going to play out man on man, 15 on 15, and you know, Dublin are just going to have far too much for them. And you know, like, in fairness to Westmeath, like, they really have nothing to lose. Everyone's expecting them to get hammered now, you know, to get beaten out the gate. So that's a nice way to be going into a match as well, from their point of view. And you know, they probably, you think that they kind of might stay with Dublin for 40 minutes maybe, but I think we've far too much for them after that.
Yeah, and they're in a lot better position than their counterparts, who now have to turn up 6 days later, I think it is, to face Tyrone in the back door.
Yeah, but you look at the, I don't have any sympathy for teams, to be honest with you, that are complaining, you know, because if you just win, you don't have that problem, you know what I mean? So, like, yeah, they have to play a game 6 days later, and to be given out about that, like, you know, I just wouldn't listen to it, because...
Yeah, Dave, actually...
Go on, yeah.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, because we hear about the fitness of the GAA players, and that they're supreme athletes and they're so fit, and yet we get these complaints that they can't play 6 days later. It always strikes me as a strange kind of... They can't be... both things can't be true.
Yeah, like, I suppose it's not a fitness issue, really. It's a mental issue, you know, and... Like, it's easy if you win a match and to play a week later is easy, you know, because everyone's buzzing. If you lose a match, like, you're kind of a little bit down and depressed for 3 or 4 days afterwards, and you know, then you're trying to motivate fellas then again to play a few days later. So it is tough psychologically, but, you know, like, in the championship is about winning matches, and if you lose, like, you know, you can't really have too many complaints about playing. Like, and Kildare in the same boat now. They've a tough one. Offaly have been waiting for them for a few weeks, and now they're playing 6 days after hammering like Dublin. So, you know, they could get shocked down there in Tullamore as well. So, but look, at the secret is to just keep winning matches, and you don't have that problem.
Yeah, and long may it continue for Dublin. Thanks very much again, Dave, and maybe we'll chat to you before the Leinster final.
Yeah, no problem.
Brilliant stuff, Dave. Thanks very much. And that was Dave Henry once again joining us. That point I was making there, it always seems to be strange that we hear so much of how the GAA players are fit as Premiership footballers. League of Ireland footballers play 3 games in a week sometimes.
And footballers, I mean, over a season will play 3 games a fortnight, won't they?
Yeah. You know, on average. And they're 90-minute games as well.
Yeah, and it's just... I don't get it. I don't know the sports science of it, you know, in terms of...
I think it's a cultural thing, and I think, Dave, it's a psychological and cultural thing that they just aren't... It isn't their routine.
Well, I suppose there is the aspect of it that they then go out and knock out a 40-hour week in work or wherever.
Yes,
then,
yeah, obviously.
You know,
or
a 12-hour week in college.
Mm-hmm. No, from a human point of view, you would have sympathy for it. I just think it's as an excuse.
It is.
But wouldn't they be sort of useful playing for their clubs as well? Because at times for the clubs, they would be playing a couple of games.
Yeah, of course.
Week too.
Yeah.
It always seems as a strange one as an excuse to me.
There is that layer of it, though, isn't there, that's invisible? Like, we don't know, say, what Michael Murphy's going to play between two Donegal Championship matches when he might play 8 bloody games for Glenswilly.
I don't really. Like, we've seen before in the hurling when Dublin, I think, got a run a couple of years ago, got to a Leinster final because they were playing back to back games.
Yeah.
And people were saying that was a positive.
Yeah,
and then we see things. It just seems really strange. It seems illogical.
Tyrone did it, didn't they? Tyrone had a habit of getting great momentum.
Be both a positive and a negative, if you know.
No, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I guess like the best teams will turn that negative into a positive.
Yes.
And actually use it to go on a run, like you said, like Tyrone does in the qualifiers.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm delighted to say we have Anton O'Toole, Dublin legend, on the line. How are you doing, Anton?
Fine, Neil. Well. Very well, thanks.
Great to chat to you again. Dublin are into another Leinster final. Two, I suppose, easy enough wins. Well, big margins anyway. What's your thoughts so far on the championship?
Well, I mean, the two matches we played in this year's championship, we won them comprehensively and we put up big scores. And, you know, you can't but be impressed by the way we played, and especially as an attacking force. We're opening up defences and, you know, getting scores, good points from play and goals as well. So, you know, it's very hard to sort of look at negative what we've achieved so far.
Yeah, well, this time last year, I suppose we were complimenting all of us, I suppose, not the country, were complimenting Dublin's style of football. They were winning games easy enough, and then, bang, they meet Donegal in the championship, and they get a sucker punch. I know Jim Gavin has been working on plans since then to make sure that Dublin aren't as soft in the centre. Have you noticed a difference this year? I know Jim McGuinness was referring to it in today's paper that they're harder to beat. Have you noticed that in the couple of games you've seen and the league campaign as well?
Well, I think what you say is true. It's the same pattern as last year, where we're steamrolling teams early on, and unfortunately the problem is in Leinster we're far and away superior to any other team in the province. What I noticed from the league campaign, when we met the teams, defensively minded teams, we struggled to overcome them. I mean, take the Derry game, for example, a horrendous game to be at and to watch. We struggled to get scores, and I think we won by 2 points in the end.
Yeah.
So we haven't yet managed to find a formula for breaking down these mass defences. We've struggled, certainly in the league campaign, we struggled against them. And that is the $1,000 question when we come up against, say, Donegal, and if so, in the latter stages of the championship.
Yeah, one way Kerry got around it, I suppose, was getting someone like Kieran Donaghy and playing the big ball in and getting people feeding off that. It's not an option Dublin have available to at the moment. Obviously, the injury to Owen O'Gara is a loss. Do you think there's anyone out there? Is there a plan B that Dublin could use if they get into one of those days where they are struggling to break down a packed defence?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think what we've been doing wrong is that we've been over-carrying the ball out of defence. Our half-backs, our full-backs, you know, when playing teams that pull back their attackers as defenders, we're carrying the ball right into those packed defences, and then we're struggling to offload. Well, I think we should need to be kicking scores from the half from midfield and very, very much outside the 40-yard line. We did what we ironically we played probably our best football in the championship against Donegal for in the first 20 minutes. We got some great scores. Unfortunately, we didn't manage to persevere with that. But I think we have options in the we have some big men we could throw into that full forward line. For example, Okungala, who came on Sunday. I think he's a great fielder of the ball. I think he'd make a great target man because we don't have one. I mean, Dean Rock's superb free take and superb at taking scores, but he hasn't shown up as a target man in the full forward line. And you know, Bernard is a great man to take a score also, but he wouldn't be seen as a straight target man either. So I've got someone like Fenton possibly or Okungala as one of those options. You know, if we get Dennis Bastic back alongside Michael Darren-McCauley.
How do you think, actually mentioning Fenton there in midfield, he's a Raheny man who's done well so far in the Championship. Himself and Small, I suppose, are the two newcomers into the team from last year. How do you think they've done so far in the Championship?
Well, I've been very impressed with both of these guys, you know, especially in the league. They came, you know, they cut their teeth in the league and they've been, to me, they've been very impressive. Fenton's a big, strong lad. He's great field with the ball. He's tenacious. He works very hard. And the same applies to Small. Very, very tough man, you know, compact and good tackler, good marker. So I'd be very confident. I'm delighted that they got a run out on Sunday because I think that's what they need. You know, need experience to the fever of championship football. But I think they're positive additions to the squad.
I don't know if you saw the comments by Dara O'Shea, and I think it was his article in the paper about Dermot Connolly saying that there's still an opportunity for opposition players to wind them up. There's been no doubt about it that Dermot Connolly's temperament over the last number of years for Dublin has improved, and he's been a star man for Dublin time and time again now. Do you think this is just more kind of Kerry ex-players getting in their, I suppose, the retaliation first via the newspapers?
Well, I mean, I think from the only one who really needs to ignore this is Dermot Connolly. I mean, Dermot Connolly was superb on Sunday. Yeah. He's probably the best footballer in the country at this moment in time. He's beautiful feet, beautiful ability to pass, great pass of the ball. And his temperament is not suspect. I think his temperament is superb. So it's just, I mean, all he's, you know, he's there, he's out there on the field. Just ignoring that type of stuff. I don't think that'll even bother him. He just needs to, you know, he's going to come on up against, you know, tight marking and maybe a bit of people trying to egg him on. But he just has to deal with that. And I think he's sufficiently mature now to handle all that stuff.
And his composure in front of goal is exceptional. The penalty he took and the goal, two goals on Sunday, but both of them taken with just a level of composure I haven't seen across the counties. It's just exceptional that composure he shows when faced in goal. Lots of players tend to whack it, belt it above the goalkeeper's head, whereas Dermot just strokes it into the corner, often sending the keeper the wrong way.
Yeah, well, I wish he'd hold on to those for maybe latter stages of the championship. But, I mean, his penalty was superb, and the goal he took, he placed it beautifully as well. So, I mean, he's an absolutely, you know, to me, he was the outstanding footballer in the country last year. If you remember back to when he hit the club championship final, and he gave an exhibition that day in an 8-minute spell that was I had never seen in Croke Park. So he's a top-class footballer, and, you know, let's hope we can see him at the latter stages of the championship show even how good he is.
Yeah, and turning to, I don't know if you caught the Westmead match, the first time ever Westmead have beaten Mead in the championship. It was some comeback from Westmead. Do you think they'll put up much of a performance, a better one than Longford and Kildare have so far against the Dubs?
Well, I was expecting Kildare to give us a tougher game than they gave us. In fairness to both Longford and Kildare, they do play open football, and I think that's to be commended. But I mean, Westmead have beaten me for the first time in ever in the championship, and that is going to give them a huge fillip. You know, they were euphoric after that game last Sunday, and the spirit in that camp will be exceptional. they'll be out training this week with a hunger now and a passion to meet Dublin on Sunday week. Whether they'll be able to take Dublin is, I wouldn't think so, but they definitely have a great spirit, and the way they attacked Meath in that last 20 minutes and got some very, very good scores, the 14 and the wing back who came up, they were outstanding, and they showed that they have the guts, and they'll come up with, you know, they've beaten Leash, they've beaten Wexford, you know, they've three good wins under their belt, so they'll go in saying, you know, we'll give it everything we have, and at the end of the day, I don't think they'll beat Dublin, but we'll have to produce the same level of performance we gave last Sunday.
Yeah, and I don't know if you heard the interview their manager gave after the league, where they got their second relegation in 2 years, where he pretty much had a go at a lot of the senior players in the panel. He came in for some criticism at the time, but the performances since, I suppose, is do you think it's something, I don't know, has that ever happened to you where a manager publicly had a go at the players, and what was the impact of doing so?
No, I can't say it has. Any time we were getting criticism, it was in-house, and
yeah.
It would be held within the four walls. But he obviously felt, you know, that it had to be said, and fair play to him, he said it, and he obviously made certain people, you know, review what their attitude was, and it's worked for them, so for him and the team. So, I mean, I'd say that's all forgotten about now, and they'd be just thinking of Sunday week and meeting Dublin in a provincial championship final.
Yeah, we had Dave Henry on earlier, who was saying that obviously Westmeath have played very open football. They now face Dublin in the final. They really have a decision to make. Do they go with the same man-on-man open game, or do they drop a sweeper back in, which they haven't been playing? So, unlike Donegal or Derry or one of the other northern teams who have kind of, I suppose, are working on it week in, week out, Westmeath have a real decision to make ahead of the Dublin game.
Yeah, well, I suppose if, you know, they'll probably say, well, we'll stick with the formula that has worked for us in getting to the final. They'll probably say, well, look, why should we change the way we play? It's worked, it's been successful for us. Maybe they might try and pull an extra man back in defence, but I would doubt if they would suddenly go the whole hog and pull, you know, 12 men behind the ball. I would hope not anyway, but we'll have to wait and see.
Great stuff, Anton, and hopefully chat to you before the Leinster final.
Okay, Neil, all the best.
Brilliant. Cheers. Stuff. Thanks very much.
Bye.
And that's Anton O'Toole, Dublin legend, chatting about the Dublin-Kildare game at the weekend, adding pretty much on the same level to what David said earlier about the tactics at Westmeath. It really is a decision, lads, for them to make ahead of the game.
Yeah, I think I can't see Westmeath continuing with the same game plan that they've had for the last couple of games. I think they will go defensive.
Yeah.
Because if they go open and attacking against Dublin, the score could be even worse than the Kildare one.
Yeah.
They really do have a free shot of it, though, because, like, Meath have Tyrone this weekend. Instead, Westmeath play Dublin. If they lose it, they're going into a better round. And
it is that horrible cliche of bonus territory for Dublin
at the moment,
isn't it? But the
they would take a defeat to Dublin and then a victory in the qualifier, I think.
Yeah.
I
think I don't think Dublin will play as well the next day, if you know what I mean, because I just think they played absolutely brilliantly, and you don't necessarily do that every day you go out, you know, and the motivation may not be there for them, and you know, they just want to go out, get the job done. You see, another thing is they're a month out from the August bank holiday, whereas they're going to be 2 weeks away, or is it 3 weeks? You know, they'll be much closer. They may want to actually ease off a wee bit, you know, going down the home straight. So we mightn't be looking at a nigh on 20-point winning margin.
I think sort of things are to do with you taking your goals, and we've seen Dublin at Croke Park not take their goals, and this year they just seem to be taking their goals, which makes adds on maybe 10 points.
Yeah.
I think I agree with what you're saying there, and they might hold back. I think what we could see is maybe in the first half they might try and just end the game in the first half.
Well, the second quarter of every game, Dublin have been very strong in this campaign so far.
Yeah, well, I guess that's always the thing with Dublin, though, as well. They always play well in the second half of games. So.
Yeah.
It's always the first half. They seem to, I don't know, be a bit lackadaisical. It's just still in the dressing room.
I do think, though, that Dermot Connolly and, you know, a couple of the other lads, I think it is one thing that they might be a bit vulnerable for, that it is in their nature. They're such competitors. They're kind of competitive fellas. And there was a moment there in the second, I think it was in the second half, when a Kildare lad was really going at Connolly. And the restraint shown by Connolly, which he has done on, you know, half a dozen occasions over the last 3 or 4 years was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I think
you were just looking at him going, would you ever slap him down and put an end to this? Like, but he didn't, and he just used his physical strength to kind of just go, get away from me. But at that point, there was 15-point difference or whatever. Yeah,
it's
in the
one
game.
Of the things
if that happens against Donegal, and you got a McGee,
and you're losing. It's easier done.
You got a McGee, you know, and you know, at you. Will he be able to, you know, keep his restraint? Or a guy like Philly McMahon, I mean, it's part of their makeup. It's what makes them such great players, is that streak in them, you
and
know.
The thing about it is a compliment to Connolly. I'd agree with Anton. I think he's probably is the best footballer in the country at the moment.
Yeah. There's no one better anyway. Maybe Murphy, but I think it's...
I was saying to, as I heard, the way he takes the goals, himself and the Gooch, I think, stand apart in that.
Yeah. Kind of, He just makes some ridiculous stuff look so easy, and he's a lovely kind of elegant.
Yeah, he's a beautiful footballer.
Yeah, he really is. Just a wee thing is that the points that Kilkenny stuck over 4 or 5 in the first, or about 3 or 4 in the first half, and they were really far out. And again, Alan Brogan did the same. He scored a hat-trick of points. Fine points.
Like, and it is something about how you're going to beat those packed defences, is taking those points. And Kieran Kilkelly got a good, lovely few. Bernard Brogan, as you said, and Alan Brogan.
Yeah.
And last year against Donegal, for the first 20 minutes, that's what they were doing. And I don't know if it was tiredness or what happened.
Yeah.
I think when you're chasing it, it's harder.
Yes, it is, definitely.
Yeah. Psychologically, it's harder to take those points for some reason.
Yeah, McManaman didn't look happy when he went off. Did he? He wasn't quiet, but he was just, he didn't do anything. He didn't have one of those barreling runs that he normally has.
He probably was slightly unhappy with himself, but like, it's a good sign when your player's gone off unhappy.
This could have been also just one of those days where everybody was scoring. He wanted to just keep getting in on the act, getting his tally up as well.
It's another thing, and it ties back into the restraint thing from Connolly and all the kind of fiery fellas in the squad, is that there's never any dissent in Dublin. And it goes back to the Gilroy days, really. There's never any kind of, you know, bitchiness, never nothing. It does have that army feel to it.
Joe Brawley, we heard earlier, saying they're admired, young kids should be looking at them. They are admired.
They're great role models.
There is nothing to dislike about this Dublin team
other
than... people who just don't like the Dubs, I know we're biased here in the show, but so be it, we're allowed to be. But they really are, for anyone out there, sports people, to get behind. They're all role models, and they're accessible in the to the public.